Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
Well, today we're going to talk about something that I have been, kind of reticent to talk about.
Yeah, sort of the tables have kind of turned because normally you're asking questions of people. But today I get to ask questions of you. And I'm sitting here with a book in my hand, and it's entitled Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers. And it's got a picture of a father and a son at the beach, walking along in front of the beach. And the author at the bottom is Rose Tooley Gamblin, which I think would be you.
Yes.
I guess what I'd first like to know is, why did you want to write a story like this?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First of all, I really am curious to know what is one of the biggest protective factors for young people with addictive and high-risk behaviors. How can we protect them? And I've kind of started backwards. I first looked at the older students that I was working with at school, and as I began to peel back the layers and saw the research, you know, we needed to start this type of prevention education younger and younger. And then finally I realized, well, probably we should start when they're infants. And that was coupled with an experience I had on a curriculum development committee where we were looking for the standards for spirituality for infants and toddlers.
Now, when you say spirituality, I'm taking it you don't mean religion, so, because obviously religion in an infant wouldn't make sense. So what do you mean by spirituality?
Well, and this hit the committee square in the eyes. In fact, when we got to the spiritual domain, we had no problem building the other domains, the literacy and the, you know, fine motor development and the platforms for later learning. We had no problem with those domains. But then when we hit the spiritual domain, we started out with the traditional help children understand the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, help them to know what day is the Sabbath. And then we had to disband. They had to go back to their work. And so the summer work was left with me kind of picking up the pieces. And I was to write the indicators for that spiritual domain. And I have a lot of grandchildren. I was holding one of the grandchildren, just an infant, in my arms and thinking, I can't communicate to this child about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't even communicate to this child about what day is the Sabbath, mm-hmm. or the state of the dead, or some of those doctrines that different religions hold true to. And I could sing songs and I can read books and things like that. But I realized that the spirituality of the child wasn't in the content of those things. It was in me building that relationship with that child and holding that child and loving that child. And so the reading wasn't probably being comprehended, but the coziness and that. So I looked and I studied and I realized that religiosity and spirituality are two different things. And we have often called religion spiritual, but it's not.
Well, very interesting. I noticed you dedicated the book to Melba Grace Tooley, and she's your mother. What made her such a special mother to you?
Well, I think she would be the first to say that she learned to be a mother on me. She was a pretty young mother when she had me. She hadn't had probably the best role models in her life as to what parenting should be in general. And I grew with her. And now at this age, as I understand mothering, I realize that God's grace came into her life and she was able to stop some of the hurt that she had, which is what every Christian parent wants to do. We want to stop the hurt that has been inflicted on us or our previous generations. Mm-hmm. And we can only do that with the blood of Jesus Christ.
And then each generation, if you stop the hurt a little bit less, a little mm-hmm. bit less, so wouldn't that be great if everybody could look at life that way? So in the book, you have five basic topics that address the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. The first one is learning about God. How does an infant or a toddler learn about God?
Well, I really tried to use my mirror neurons. You know, those are the, we recognize now that infants are born with real rich mirror neurons where they are picking up a lot of information and reflecting it. And they have an understanding, but they can't communicate it in any way, shape, or form, except usually crying. So I want the parent to understand that they are teaching that child about God. From the time they are conceived, they're teaching that child about God through their own actions, their own affections for the child, they're taking care of that child. And I wanted the child to speak. I wanted that baby to speak. So that chapter starts with the infant being born and being absolutely scared out of their wits. They've been in this nice, cozy womb, and now it's all bright lights. They're having all kinds of things poked in them, little slices taken out of them or whatever they're experiencing, and they're
pain.
Terrified.
Experiencing pain.
And of course, it's based on me actually being there, witnessing the birth of a child and seeing that child in the nursery with all these strangers, taking care of it and making sure it's going to live. And then and the child just absolutely every cell in their body is screaming. I mean, they are just so terrified. And then the father comes in and he puts his hand on that child's head and he just talks softly. And that little tiny infant immediately responds, stops crying. And it's like the infant is saying, okay, maybe my world's going to be okay. And I believe that at that moment, I witnessed how God is with us. We're in a very frightening experience here mm-hmm. on this planet, and God is there. He wants to speak to us. He wants to anoint our head with oil. And so learning about God starts from the time of conception, but I was able to witness it there at the birth.
It is kind of a comforting feeling to think of God putting his hand on our head. And as I read in the book, covering the soft spot, mm-hmm. and saying, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. I'm here. That's a neat analogy. Then you go into creation. Why do you think it's important for a toddler to learn about creation?
Well, creation, it's for one thing, it's one of the more interesting things for young babies even to, you know, if you've seen the child who sees their first cow, that's pretty awesome. It's a four-legged creature, and it's usually black and white, or it's just so interesting. We have a natural affinity towards creation, and I think we need to encourage that infant and toddler to feel comfortable in their environment. And part of that is appreciating the aesthetics of it. God gives that. It feeds our souls the beautiful things, and children naturally appreciate it. It's us adults who've kind of gotten calloused
to it. I can remember when I was 8 years old, I lived in New York City, and of course I had been everywhere. The actual city was a new experience to me, and it wasn't actually very pleasant either. And we were on a field trip, bless our teacher's heart, taking 20 kids on a subway. We were in Brooklyn, downtown. But we ended up walking along a bridge, and down below were some cows. And the reaction, I was in third grade, these third graders looking over that bridge, and the reaction of seeing a cow for the first time was amazing. That, like you said, we're used to it. We grow up, we get callous to it. And they were just awestruck, so awestruck that the biggest boy in the class actually plowed right into me and bashed my face into the metal bridge post and broke my nose. But I remember then looking at them as a little 8-year-old going, why are they so excited? I mean, I loved seeing the cows, but I had seen them all my life. And so you're looking at this infant reaction
yes.
to these children who had never seen something like that.
And I believe God gives us messages in things of nature. It is God's first book. And because very young children can respond to that at that very young age, they can't understand you reading the Bible, but they can understand the beautiful things in nature. So the creation is an important part of their development as they're on their spiritual journey. The title of the book is Like Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers. It hasn't been discussed much, but they definitely have a spiritual journey, and that's what I'm trying to portray here.
Well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you about learning about life, and what do you mean when you say an infant and toddler should learn about life? We'll be right back.
Coffee, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Ah, don't. No.
Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, let me see.
This cap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's all one word, myhomeschoolcompanion.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Rose Tooley Gamblin, and we are discussing her book, Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers. And when we went for break, I said we were going to discuss what you meant when you say learning about life.
Well, believe it or not, when a child's born, they do not know they are alive. Have you ever thought of that? That infant is born, they are responding to different stimuli in their environment. You know, they're usually crying a lot. But they don't understand that they are alive, that they are part of a bigger picture. And all through this book, it was very metaphoric for me to write it, because I realized that often we don't realize we are alive in Jesus Christ. So this infant is just beginning at that very young age, going, okay, where do I belong? Who am I? Why am I here? I mean, you can see it and hear it in their cries. Why am I here? And I thought, you know, we need to think about that with intentionality. They quickly respond to belonging in the family, to their siblings. I mean, there's all kinds of cute mm-hmm. stories of children who had to be kept at the hospital and weren't doing well, and then their sibling would come and sing to them and they would respond. And I think that learning about life is just part of the spiritual journey. They're learning about what part they play, where do they belong, what family they're in, what church family they're in. So that's what that chapter is about, just learning about the fact that I'm alive and I'm part of a family.
I think that's so special, too. I know when my youngest daughter was born, my older daughter was 5 and a half, and Katie was fine. She had not a strenuous birth or anything like that, and she was going home the very next day. But I still remember my 5-year-old disappearing for a second. We're all looking around for her, and the doctors and nurses are all standing there, and she walks back in with a stool. She had gone into the next part of the room and gotten this little stool and brought it over and plopped it down by the bassinet, climbed up on it, and started singing Silent Night.
Aww.
And there wasn't a dry eye in the room when Aww. She was done. And that little baby just sat there with her eyes wide open, taking it all in. She'd heard this voice for 9 months next to
yes.
mommy. And it was very special, special time.
Yes, it brings tears to my eyes to hear those kinds of stories, because it really shows how God has created us from the very beginning. You know, Psalms tells us he knows the hairs on our heads. He has thought about us before he put us together in our mother's womb. And we often just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think that learning about life translates to learning about eternal life?
Well, on the surface, this is quite obvious. You know, people know that how you relate to your parents or how your parents relate to you, then you eventually will translate that to your relationship with God, which is absolutely true. What we haven't taken into consideration is how this also is the biggest protective factor. So when that mother who is exhausted from that baby crying all the time and has to go change the diaper for the 10th time that night because there's, you know, a bug going through or whatever, she doesn't realize how spiritual that experience is. Even the crying of the baby is very spiritual. As I mentioned in the book, you just can go to the baby houses in Romania and you will walk in and it is so quiet.
Yes.
Because those babies already realize that their crying has no meaning to anybody. But your baby who's crying, that's a good thing. That's their only way of really communicating. Something isn't quite going right. You know, they might not be feeling well, or they might be afraid of something, or sometimes they even pick up on the stress of the parents and it becomes a vicious cycle. But whatever the case may be, as Christian parents, we attend to that baby. And I have to bring up the fact here that I really do speak out against Baby Wise. Baby Wise is a movement that went through the Christian community where we wanted our babies to know who was the boss. And we put them on pretty strict schedules. And indeed, you know, families seem to have these miraculous schedules where the babies didn't wake up except when they were supposed to, and they were just such well-behaved babies. They were baby-wise. But now, as time has gone on, we actually are having the fallout of this, where children actually have not brain damage, but brain change. It's the same thing that we see in neglected children, where they no longer have that attunement where they're connected with the mother, because the mother didn't take care of their basic needs except when she wanted to, or the father. And so we need to be careful. God has wired a baby to survive the very best way that they can in this sinful world. And it means, it's going to mean some sleepless nights.
Very much so.
Sometimes you're going to be irritated, but that's a spiritual journey. They're learning about God. And is God going to be a God that takes care of them and loves them and knows all what they need? Or is it going to be a God that says, I am the Almighty God, you need to follow my schedule, and if you don't, your needs won't be met? A vindictive God.
Yes.
Huge.
Very true.
He actually made us the center of the universe by sending his son down to save us, which is a huge message about God's love for us.
Yes.
And we want to translate that from the very beginning. From the moment that child's born, we want that child to know that God cares and loves and thought about them before he created them.
And they are the center of our universe.
That's right.
So your fifth chapter had to be kind of a painful chapter to write. It's about orphans, adoption, and special needs children. Why did you put them all together?
Well, they all basically have a similar challenge. If you are an orphan, you didn't have that important attachment at that very young age. And the adopted child, we often ignore the fact that they too have been torn away from that secure womb where they were for 9 months. And so we now look at that it could be a primal wound, and it needs to be addressed and counseled and special attention given to that child who's adopted. There's higher suicide rates. There's higher rates of addictive and high-risk behaviors among the population that has been adopted. We need to take that into consideration and maybe do even a better job of nurturing at that very young age and providing for that child and understanding. And then, of course, the special needs child, that child, we often don't realize that they too have a relationship with God. God loves them and is taking care of them every step of the way. And someday they will be recreated anew. They will just be wonderful. And they bring such a blessing. I have been blessed by so many children that were deemed special needs. I like to call them the exceptional child. They are exception in so many ways. And so I had to include that. I'm very interested in orphans, and I work with Restore a Child So I had to include that because they all are on a spiritual journey too. And however we can help and provide, I want to do that.
Amen. So I'm looking at your book here and the cover I had described at the beginning, but I would like you to describe what it symbolizes.
Well, it's a picture of a man and his little boy, and they're looking out over an ocean. And I think sometimes we spend so much time on the relationship between the mother and the child that we overlook the father. And the father does stand for the infant and the toddler in the place of God, absolutely mm-hmm. and totally. So I thought, you know, this little child is looking out over the ocean too. He's very interested in some of the waves that are lapping at his feet. And the father is looking at the child. He's going to make sure that no big waves come and sweep the child away. And the vastness of eternity lies before them, really, in the representation of the ocean. God wants all of these families to soon be saved and his kingdom everlasting. So it's a metaphor for that ultimate experience when Jesus comes back again.
So the illustrations in the book, how did you obtain them? And why do you think a book like this should contain illustrations?
Well, I wasn't going to put pictures in the book originally, but I had so many cute pictures of children in my family, in my church family, or relatives. So all of the illustrations were used by permission of different children that are in my sphere of influence. And they were all infants and toddlers at the time. And I thought pictures of children just engage. I'm engaged by it. And I think that it also has a message for some people that I really love, my own children and my own grandchildren. After I'm gone, maybe they will pick this book up someday and read again and read afresh the spiritual journey of their infants and toddlers, and it will bless them for future generations.
After I read the book, I went back through and just looked at the pictures and compared them to what you were talking about. There's one picture in there of a little boy sticking his tongue out trying to catch a raindrop, and it's where they're talking about creation and thinking, you're seeing life anew just by looking at these pictures. You can see the life through these children. And because it's so many different ones, it's just not your child, or if you don't have a child yet, you can still picture their excitement or their awe and wonderment through their eyes just by looking at the pictures. And I really enjoyed that part of the book too. The book, how can anyone obtain it if they want to?
Oh, that's a good question. We've done this show all about it. Well, you can go to Amazon.com and just type in either my name or Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers.
So go to Amazon.com and type in Rose Gamblin, or Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers. And are you working on anything else?
I am working on a book called Fritz. I mean, that's the working title. And I decided that this book is just going to be more or less the story of my life and my pets. And I'm going to just let the story unfold and speak for itself. But it is very spiritual. It is my own spiritual journey. And it's just to encourage families, and it's to give a view. It gives a picture of a family and the struggles that they went through in their own spiritual journey. And so it's pretty fun. I mean, it's a fun book.
So is Fritz a dog?
Yes,
cat?
Yes.
Fritz the dog. Fritz the dog. That
so
sounds
watch for that coming soon.
So we're coming to the end of our show. I certainly appreciate you coming and letting me ask you the questions instead of you asking the questions as you usually do. And we have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.